You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy, back for season 18 for reasons nobody is really sure why, but it is. We are, Chris and Dave, we are back. Dave, how are you doing, my friend? How was your off season?
I'm doing pretty well. The off season was lots of ups and downs, got COVID somewhere in the middle. So I don't know if you have a COVID story.
Not yet.
You've not had COVID at all?
Well, my wife had it. And, you know, I was expecting to get it then. In fact, she had a rebound case, too. And I, for some reason, I'm guessing I'm one of those people that has had it but didn't know they had it.
Right. Must have. I mean, at least with this strain, everyone I know. Like, early on, you know, in 2020, it was, you heard of people, and then, you know, it's getting closer and closer and closer. Now, in 2022, it's everyone around me has gotten it, but it's much less severe as most people, I think, have gotten vaccinated that I know. But I got it in early May, and I think, without exaggeration, I had the worst symptoms of anyone ever with COVID. I was a miserable wreck for about 2 weeks, and I thought I was going to be someone that would handle it well, but I got COVID. My daughter, oldest daughter, got married.
Hey.
So that was a big deal. It happened in July, and so there's been a lot of interesting things that happened for me since the brutal end of the season last season.
Oh, God.
But tell me, how about you? What, any significant life changes for you?
Well, I'm semi-retired now. That's a life change. And I had a kidney stone, which was, this is a note to everybody, avoid a kidney stone, drink lots of water so you don't have to worry about that, because I believe the medical term, and parents, shield the ears of your children if they're listening. I believe the medical term is that it hurts like a motherfucker. I believe that is exactly what the doctor said. Yeah, oh yeah, it's clinical. It's right here in the book. Yeah, it's bad. Do not have a kidney stone.
Yeah, I agree. You gave me a little bit more detail, and I'm going to drink more water. I'm nervous I don't have water in front of me right now. Sorry. Great. But one thing I wanted to ask you, too, is one of the side effects of last Packer season is that I felt that my sports watching experience died a little bit inside. We might have talked about it at the last episode. It was so painful. It was just another in a series of disappointments that it actually has affected a bit of my sports watching sense. The Milwaukee Bucks, who had just won the world championship the year before, so it's like, what am I complaining about? I actually saw one of my teams win. I was very cautious about watching them. Once the playoffs started, I got fully invested, and they lost, and that pain came back. And that has caused me then to not really watch a whole lot of the Brewers. I've been very cautious about kind of putting myself out there and getting emotionally hurt through sports, and probably on a number of levels, different things. But now that the Packers season is rolling around, I think I'm ready to be hurt again. How do you feel about the whole thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting, having experienced the kidney stone. I'm not sure if that 49ers game that ended the last season was more painful, perhaps, than the kidney stone. Certainly painful in a different way, but there was a hangover.
Yeah.
Definitely for me after that. It's and I think more so because they certainly could have won that game. I believe they were the better team, but it was a self-inflicted, you know, kind of a cell-phone kind of a situation with the crappy special teams. And there's just no way that they should have lost the way they did. And so, yeah, you know, that leaves a mark. There's no question about it. And I think I'm over the hangover now. And I think what sort of jolted me back to reality, the Brewers made a trade of their closer to the San Diego Padres. And it was just, in my opinion, it was a bad deal. And if I was lethargic about my sports fandom, I think that kind of jolted me back into reality. And I actually began to care like I hadn't cared in quite some time. And I blame the Packers because it's 3 years in a row now at 13 wins, and you back-to-back MVP. And this, you know, this should be – they should be better than they are. And so it's hard, and then the callus builds in, and you realize – in an existential way that, you know, life is all chance and the NFL is no different and, you know, fate is against them and there's no exit. You know, it's like I shouldn't watch these games, you know, with Jean-Paul Sartre. I just shouldn't watch these games. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's over there chain smoking and speaking French. And, you know, and I can tell that he just knows that this sports fan thing is just, it's just pointless. It's a metaphor for the pointlessness of life right there, you know? So I think, though, I'm feeling a bit more refreshed. I've come to grips with the Davante Adams situation, you know, our close personal friend. That was hard to swallow. But, you know, I'm looking at this game, the preseason game. There's, you know, there's a couple of bright spots. You've seen some young players. You're hearing about this defense in the practice that sounds so good, and it'll be a different kind of team. And so I guess I'm, in an odd way, I might be more excited about this season than maybe the last one or two seasons.
I think that's right, because what made them lose last year, it's like they're hitting the reset button a little bit. I know when it ended, I felt at the time if they let Aaron Rodgers go, trade him to Denver, we'll get a bunch of draft picks, you know, we'll start over, even if it's a Jordan Love, I'm ready to go 8-8 or 8-9, I guess, or 9-8. Like, if we have that kind of a season, I'd be okay with that. I just didn't want to do the same thing over again, have another offense that's, we got a decent offensive line. Of course, someone's going to get hurt at the end of the year. We've got a pretty good running game. I like our two backs. But, you know, when it's crunch time, Aaron's going to force a throw to Davante Adams, and that's either the team are either going to figure that out or not. And that's happened year after year. Well, getting rid of Davante Adams takes part of that equation out. Now, we may find very quickly that the replacement for Davante Adams is not much better. In fact, it may be much worse, and our problems are no one's getting open. Rodgers is upset because, I guess, in this last game, two guys ran the wrong route, which apparently was the reason a ball bounced off some guy's shoulder pad, which I couldn't figure that out. But, you know, it's going to be messier than it was when Davante was there. But it's not the same. You know, it's not because that seemed to be a mistake. Only forcing throws to one guy, leaving other guys wide open and ignoring them. That, if you keep making that same mistake, that's really frustrating. Now, I'm sure I'll make new mistakes and they might be worse. But it won't be the same, and I'm glad for that. And as you mentioned, the defense, they kind of went all in on defense on the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, so I guess this team wants to be defensive-minded, probably force the running game a little bit more, and then in the passing game, look, we got two-time MVP. You got to find some guys that can catch the ball if someone can put it between the numbers. So maybe this team will be different and interesting in a different way than we've had before. And maybe that has higher upside. It could have lower downside too.
Yeah. But that's what makes it interesting is, you know, now you really don't know what you have, and it could be like, you know, for fans of the Wisconsin Badger football team, it may be like that, where, you know, you're kind of excited when the defense comes out on the field because they're going to make plays in the backfield. They're going to, you know, get turnovers, and then you'll be frustrated by the offense because they can't get out of their own way. It'll be a different kind of frustration. It'll be frustration, just different. And that's kind of what I'm kind of wondering about. But at this point, you don't know. It's like it's that package under the tree, Dave. It's all wrapped up, and you don't know what it is until you open it up and then are fully disappointed when you do.
Well, what do we know? We know Rodgers seems to be dialed in. He seems to be pretty happy, maybe getting high as a kite more often as the year goes on. I don't know what that's all about. But he seems to be pretty happy and saying the right things and taking pictures of the guys on the sidelines. He seems he's there, and if he could be a leader, you know, that can go a long, long ways. And I think we ended the season last year with a defense that was pretty good, and we've restocked. I think I always find it interesting when the Packers react to, you know, things that have happened in the past. I remember one of the games we had a really bad punter, so we went out and drafted a punter in the third round. And I think one of the things that they've have reacted to is how good Tampa is on defense with their two linebackers. And so they go out and draft. I'm going to be in midseason form of not remembering people's names. they draft their first round draft pick, who is, I don't even know if he's on the tackle chart here. So I'll have, do you recall his name? Quay Walker.
Yeah. He's the guy. At first I thought it was Don Majkowski there, inside linebacker. And then, it's Quay Walker. Sorry about that.
But boy, that guy looks the part.
Oh man.
He's a tall, athletic looking guy. But then, I was like, wow, does he look athletic? But then Oren Burks was on San Francisco. He ran across the screen. I thought, oh, you know, he looks the part too. He wasn't the part.
So that was something to see him again, huh? Yeah. It's like...
But they look very similar in terms of body type and size. But, you know, I think the Packers are saying, look, we have a really good defense. Let's get another linebacker and be really dominant with an inside linebackers that could stay on the field for all four downs, three downs. That's going to be a real difference maker for us. I think that's interesting. We hired a new special teams coach who apparently will get these guys really fired up. Did you hear on the broadcast they call special teams "we-fence"?
Now, I did catch that, and I thought I heard it wrong.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't like, what? I don't understand what that means, but it does. It's kind of an interesting concept. It's that if you're on special teams, if you're in the facility and getting the training and going through your plays and stuff, if you're on special teams, you're like the third least important. But if you have a culture of, no, we're all on special teams, like you better be ready to help out if you need to. It's we fence. It's all of us. It's anybody what we can muster to play well. That's a much better culture than saying, you know, you stink, you're on special teams, that's your only role. So I kind of like that.
Right now I'm rolling my eyes at the idea, but you know, if their special teams halfway through the season are, you know, top half the league, I'm saying, wow, what a great idea that was. Nicely done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently they paid a lot for him, they said.
Yeah.
So he's coming as a head coach, so hopefully he can turn things around. But what did you think of the game? Any reactions to the game for you?
Well, on special teams, you mentioned there was the one very good return, Amari Rodgers, 50-yard return. That guy, you talk about looking different. I mean, he looks like a different human being entirely. And I know he lost 16 pounds. He apparently hired a Olympic gold medalist to get him into shape. And, you know, he's drinking all that. Like, I forgot how much I think he said a gallon of water a day. You know, a gallon of water, that is ridiculous. Now, that's a guy who will not have a kidney stone. You know, so he's lost all of this weight. He looks completely different. He moves a lot differently. I can see why they have him on the return game. Now, last year I couldn't figure it out. But, you know, yeah, okay, this is making a lot more sense. Of course, special teams being special teams, on the opening kickoff, of course they commit a penalty. It was perfect.
Right. You know, welcome back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a work in progress. So, all right, fine. But my impression was that they have a lot of work yet to do on special teams. That was one takeaway. But you know, these things aren't going to correct themselves immediately. I don't care if it was WeFence or what, however they brand it. That's a good start. But you know, you really have to kind of understand the system, get in the system, put the right guys in place. But I think without Mason Crosby as their kicker, I have not seen a more horrendous field goal at the National Football League level than that shanked, if that's even the right word in this case, 31 yarder that I didn't think you could kick it that far left.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that? I mean, I don't think I've even seen a golf shot off the tee that was that badly, you know, hooked. I mean, that was terrible, man.
Oh, I've had those. On the golf course, there's no question. I've got a lot of those. But yeah, do you remember when Chicago had like a fundraiser where on the double doink, they had like just guys at a bar just kicking field goals just for to see if they could make it at the same distance. And it looked a lot like those highlights of the drunk guys kicking field goals. That's
well, that's no, well, maybe. See, I didn't think of that. It was San Francisco, so I don't know. Maybe the guy was high. I don't know. That's usually Mason Crosby, but he usually has the right, just the right calibration of high.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got to get well. I think they've got a long snapper problem. I mean, they got rid of the guy from last year. I got a guy named Coco now, I believe, is who's been long snapping. But you know, they're going to have to get the right people in place to make those special teams viable. And we're seeing a little bit of the fallout of that during the game. There were two guys that Passacci wanted to, you know, come in because he worked with them in Oakland and Las Vegas, and he wanted these particular guys because they were going to help him on special teams. Well, we saw Gafford at cornerback. He's the guy that got his ankles busted and he twisted himself into the ground and gave up the long touchdown. And the other guy got hurt. Levitt got hurt. I don't know if how significant his shoulder injury is, but the point is those guys are not going to be that good from scrimmage, and they might be, you know, very good on special teams. But here's the thing: you want good special teams, you're going to have to carry a Jared Bush and people like that who aren't going to be great from scrimmage. We're going to have to accept that, because the reason they're there is so you don't have the worst special teams in the NFL. You're going to have to carry a couple of guys who have limited value as, you know, from scrimmage players, but they're going to be really, really good in special teams. And that means some good players are going to have to be cut because they're not as good on special teams, and the Packers are going to lose some guys. I think we need to prepare ourselves right now that the best 53 are not necessarily the best guys who can play an offensive or defensive position, but you're going to have a few guys that their best position is gunner on the, you know, on the punt team or long snapper or whatever it might be. You're going to carry some guys for that particular reason. So people need to accept the fact, if you want better special teams, you're going to have to make compromises elsewhere on the roster.
But did you notice during the game there looked like there was a disagreement between, and is it Passacci? Is that
that's how I've heard it pronounced. I mean, as far as my own unique pronunciation, you don't want to go there.
And okay, well, I'm going to say it now because that's we'll dub it out if it's a problem. And yeah. Floor, it looked like, I don't know if it was like he didn't throw a red flag. There was something that it felt like they kind of came at each other a little bit. It was like an uncomfortable conversation, which impossible to tell on TV. But it made me wonder, you know, if he's saying I need more guys to help my special teams, if he's the kind of coach that will push that harder than maybe in previous teams, where I think the Packers want an extra wide receiver, a thin, fast guy who, you know, is really light on special teams that won't contribute a whole lot. So I wonder if this year you're going to see more of what you're saying, more special teams focused people, because the special teams coach is much more of a strong-willed guy.
I'm not sure if he'll be strong-willed as much as the Packers, I think, are allowing him to do things, is they paid a lot of money for this guy. And they brought him in with the idea he was going to make things better. I think they're deferring to him a lot more than they would have previous special teams coaches, because they've made this an area of emphasis. And as far as that disagreement on the sideline, I'm pretty sure it was over, you know, transubstantiation. You know, is the host the actual body of Christ, or is it just, you know, kind of a spiritual thing? And those are heated discussions. You know, especially when you got a couple of guys who probably are Catholic, and these are, you know, important issues that need to be litigated. I don't care if it's on the sideline at Levi Stadium. You got to talk about these things, Dave.
Yeah, you can't leave the bottle up. You need to get it out. Yeah, I didn't think
exactly.
About that.
Yeah.
So I have a couple other questions about the game. At what point did you realize that there were two Slaytons on defense?
You know, I noticed that right away, because I thought, gee, isn't T.J. Slaton 93? He's 60 now. I thought maybe change his number, you know, because off, you know, a fresh start, right? And that's, well, wait a second. No, they're both in at the same time, and they spell their names differently.
So they do.
Yes.
Yeah, but I went through the wait. I thought he was 93, and there he is. I must have. No, wait. He's 60. Is he changing his jersey? Like I went through this back and forth. until
and they're built kind of the same too, which, you know, they look, you know, like they could have been, you know, twins from a different mother or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Right. It finally, it took me well into the second quarter to realize there's two Slaytons. I just, that was not an option for me. I should have, what is Sherlock Holmes, like the most obvious answer if there is the answer. I was trying to justify everything, but there are two Slaytons. So that was one. The other
they
was,
both look. They both look like they can play too.
They do.
Yeah.
I thought they were both. As far as tackles, I guess Chris Slayton had 6 tackles.
Yeah, he led the team. Yeah.
But well, now I'm getting. I may have had my Slaytons confused, but I thought T.J. Slaytton had a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Like he was throwing guys around. That he looked really impressive, but he only has 1 tackle. Yeah. So it was Chris Slaytton I'm thinking about, but.
Well, it was one of those guys, but they look to me, well, I always like T.J. Slaytton just because he kind of 93 and he kind of looked like Gilbert Brown, so I kind of took a shine to him. But he can move. He's a player. And Chris Slaytton, I think, was a Giants draft pick, something like that, a long time ago. But he can, you know, I mean, he made his presence felt. He had a tackle for a loss. And I think it was Aaron Nagler that might have said on Twitter that – the Packers might have depth on the defensive line. And it's like, yeah, they might have depth throughout defense, which is like crazy. This is not the Packer team that we're used to seeing where you've got options. Hey, look at this, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think it's outside linebacker. They're nervous about, right. They have the 2 starters, Gary and Preston Smith. And then behind that, it gets kind of weak. But yeah, I thought, you know, Jack Heflin had a couple of plays too. And they
actually
talking about that guy from last year, that he's really hard to move, and I saw him make a couple plays. He had one really good play, and then he, like, the guy ran just by him. I thought he got held, but I almost thought he had the ability to don't have back-to-back plays. But I thought, you know, he could spell some of these inside guys a little bit, so maybe we have some depth there.
Yeah, it's a weird deal because you're usually wondering, well, how can they fill out the roster? And that's not going to be an issue, but they are going to have trouble. I think you're right, outside linebacker, and the first two guys they have, I mean, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, those are good players, no doubt. But they can't play every down. And, you know, in the NFL, guys get hurt. And there's really nothing behind them. And so that, you know, that could prove to be a weakness. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Maybe they have a plan how they can, you know, cover over that shortcoming. But right now, that looks to be the only spot on defense that is concerning to me. I mean, they seem to be pretty solid at pretty much every other position. So this is going to be interesting, of course, depending on health. It's going to make the offense's job, I don't want to say easier, but it'll make it different. You know, we might see a lot more running because when you trust your defense, you don't necessarily have to, you know, put up 30 points a game. You can, you know, put up 24 and still be probably in a winning position every week.
Well, isn't safety a problem a bit now? I don't know if there's an injury that they had. Who just got injured?
Well, the only guy that I thought got injured was
Savage, Leavitt. Right?
Oh, well, Savage is right. I'm talking about from the game. Savage, I believe he does have an injury coming in. But they've got some guys. I don't know how great they are, but, you know, they've got some guys that can play safety. And I'm not as concerned about that as I am about the outside linebacker position. That is troubling, but I think they can get by with the guys they have at safety.
Well, I hope so. I thought that was another with Savage's injury, which they didn't think was significant.
Right. Yeah.
That all of a sudden now you're a little bit light at safety, but because you know they had a lot of guys that played. I mean, some of them are familiar names. Shamar Jean Charles, is that?
And
Ento is another, and there's a few that I've seen before. But another thing that strikes me, though,
I think that those guys are corners, though, right? So
that's
I'm not sure. But you know, but they've got some guys they've been trying to, you know, nurse along for years at safety, and they're probably going to wind up playing more than they have in the past. And I may regret this later of saying this, but I'm not as concerned about that as I am about the ability of the outside linebackers. On the other hand, maybe that won't be as important if they have defensive linemen that can get to the quarterback, and maybe you don't need as much outside rush.
The other observation I made in the game outside of Jordan Love, which I'm sure we want to cover that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy that was injured for the 49ers, and they were – or some guy got burned, and they were like, you know, this guy is a seven-year veteran.
Yes.
Either he was injured or somewhere during the broadcast they commented that he was a seven-year veteran. And I'm looking at the Packers lineup here. Now, these are all guys that are not going to start. Very few of these going to get even any playing time at all. But everyone that I'm looking up and down, I mean, they were probably on the team for 3 years at most. And I thought they had said something about that when who would they say that was surprisingly one of the oldest guys on the team, like Aaron Jones, or it was someone that they interviewed that said, do you realize, you know, you're one of the guys that's been on the team the longest? And I feel like this is the problem that Packers seem to want to do every time. There's not a mix of some veteran leadership that's, you know, and I get it, you know, they're older bodies and maybe not as fast and all that, but we are consistently putting out, you know, we have our starters and our stars, but the backups and the fillers are all one, two, or third year players, and makes us really young all the time. Do you notice that? Yeah,
I think the guy they were talking to was Adrian Amos, or Amos, I guess is actually how he pronounces that. And they were commenting to him, yeah, that, you know, he was one of the senior members of the crew. And, you know, I think you're going to have that on a team where you're paying, you know, your QB1 as much as you are. And, you know, they've got a couple of players. You got one guy that, you know, didn't play at all last year, who's, you know, was the highest paid left tackle in the NFL. And, you know, you've got a few guys who are the highest paid at their positions. And that means that you're going to have to go with a lot of guys who are on low contract, rookie contracts, free agent deals, off the street free agent deals, because there's a salary cap. And when you pay your top performers like that, that means there's not a lot left over. You know, you're going to have to fill in with cheap guys. Now that will probably change when Aaron Rodgers isn't around any longer. But that's a reality. Is Rodgers, he's making over $40 million, I think, this year. And that is a absolute, you know, huge chunk.
Yeah.
And I forgot what Bakhtiari's numbers, but I don't have it in front of me. But it's also large, especially when you're not getting anything from that guy. And it's unclear whether you will be getting anything from that guy anytime soon.
Yeah, I saw some mention that both Jenkins and Bakhtiari are expected to be back at some point this year. This isn't a career ender, at least at this point. But it really makes you wonder, you know, with Bakhtiari, this is a start and stop situation that always seems to end in, bad news. So that'd be really tough.
The thing I heard that made me most concerned about that, Dave, was saying that Jenkins was ahead of Bakhtiari in terms of.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. And it's like, how can that be? He, you know, got hurt, you know, like last November, and Bakhtiari got, you know, hurt a year before that, you know.
Yeah. And three surgeries.
Yeah. I think it was probably a lot more significant than, you know, we were led to believe. And, you know, because the terrible triad or whatever of different ligaments. And the thing that the quarterback for the Vikings had, and he's now quarterback for New Orleans. Oh, God. Anyway, when he hurt himself in practice, that's the injury that he had. And I'm wondering if that, you know, they've been fairly tight-lipped about Bakhtiari. Bakhtiari's been saying some things about it, but I think he had multiple problems in there. And the question I have is not whether he'll come back. I think he probably will. But when he comes back, you know, is he still going to be the same player? Is he going to be the player that they paid for? And that's what I'm dubious about. Now, maybe they can get by with a 80% version of David Bakhtiari and be just fine. But that's why I said in one of our podcasts late last year, it's like, you know, are they going to stick with him in that big number? And I guess at this point, it's worth the risk. But if he's not going to be David Bakhtiari, I don't know if they're going to carry that salary.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to pay some portion for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
So it's going to stick. So what do you think about Jordan Love? Let's talk about him. Quarterback rating of 66.
Nice.
Three interceptions. Every one, of course, wasn't his fault, as the saying goes. What do you think about Jordan Love's performance?
Well, Big Snake Man and I talked about this day after the game, and I think he's probably more dubious than I am. Now, I'm not as Pollyanna-ish as, you know, as Matt LaFleur, who, by the way, remains a robustly handsome man.
He hasn't put on the Packer 25 or whatever.
Not.
Right? He's still pretty svelte. He doesn't look any different.
He is looking good, my friend. Yeah. So, at any event, I lean more toward LaFleur's explanation. I don't think the first two interceptions, especially the first one, the one that bounced off of Davis and into the air, that was actually a hell of a throw between two defenders and rifle it in there. And, you know, Davis got to make that play. And I don't think he's that good. And he didn't. The second one, I have heard a lot of people say, well, you know, that really is on Love because it should have been thrown more outside. Well, the way I kind of see that one is that Dobbs has got it should have been a 50-50 ball. No, but it was. He had his hands on it. And, you know, he needs to win that battle. He needs to win that 50-50. And not only did he lose it, he let the other guy take it away and get the interception. And so I don't put that on Love either.
That's more of a fumble, I would say.
Right, exactly. And then the third one was, oh God, that was ugly. That was just bad. And this is where LaFleur's explanation doesn't hold any water at all, because he says, well, you know, they ran two poor routes and it was really the only place he could go with it. Really? You couldn't throw it away? You couldn't throw it in the ground, in the sidelines? Hell, you couldn't take a sack? I mean, whatever. You didn't have to throw that ball. He did. It was a horrific, he looked like a rookie on that throw. So that one was bad. That one was ugly. But the first two, I'm going to offer a little absolution on those first two.
All right. Well, I think the fact that they're defending so hard means he's going to be on the team. I mean, he's the number two. There's just... Yeah. Yep. Either whether he deserves it or not. I'm not saying that Etling is the answer at all, but whether you want to continue down this project of what he is, which I suppose you could say he's a second-year player and not a third-year player because of COVID.
Right.
Although, you know, he was in the facility for 3 years. I don't think they don't sit and watch Netflix when they're, you know, that year. So they must have been doing something. Two and a half. My thought is with Jordan Love is that he just at this point we should be seeing some improvement and hit some good plays. That's like, yes, I can see what they like. His bad plays are bad and his kind of good plays are just kind of average stuff. Right. It's the same as any other quarterback or stuff that Danny Etling's doing. In fact, he looks uncomfortable to me. Like there's one play when he dropped back and he went through like his third or fourth progression. And like, you could almost see him, like his body, like shifted one, two to three. Like it just looks real unnatural to me. And of course I don't know what I'm talking about. I just been watching a million Packer games. I've seen a ton of football games, but so I'm sure other people who it's kind of a cool thing to say is, you don't know football. You don't know the what's happening. And, he's much better. He's improving. I don't know. What I see from all the time that I've watched football, he looks like he's just not improving, and it makes me very nervous about it.
Well, I think he's better a little bit. I mean, at least he's better than he was in those regular season games we saw him in. But I don't know that he's necessarily better than he was last summer. I think the reports out of practice sound better than what we saw in the game. I am comfortable saying this. I don't think he will ever be a plus NFL starter. Now, I think he's got value to the Packers because he's been in the system for a while as a backup. And the real question to me is, you know, will they pick up a fifth-year option on a guy when that fifth-year option is going to be between $20 and $25 million. I really don't see that happening based on what we've seen to this point. But for this year and next year, which will be his third and fourth year, as a backup, yeah, I mean, it's probably worth keeping him because he probably gives you the best chance of, you know, surviving a few weeks without Rodgers. I mean, if Rodgers missed a week like he did when he got COVID against Kansas City, I think this year Love would probably be better, and that might have been good enough to win, especially with the defense that they have this season. So this year, next year, but I think they're going to, for their quarterback of the future, I really think they'd be looking for somebody else.
Well, I question the one thing you said is, you know, is he good enough? He's their best option to win a couple weeks if they need.
Yeah.
You know, they got to, if they could split the next two games in, or before Rodgers comes back, is he your best option? You know, is there going to be a more of a veteran guy that's out there? That certainly is not your future.
Right.
But you stick with Love because you keep telling yourself he might be our future. Like, say next year he improves a little bit more, then maybe he could be that guy. Mm. And we've seen that happen with Davante Adams and other players that have started out rough and got better. I just wonder if the choice that they're making is the chance of him being good in year four or five, we still hold out hope for that. But we definitely know that in year three, he's probably not our best option to win a game or two in the regular season. But we just can't afford to let him go because either pride or hope or, you know, whatever. But just looking at him, I just think that at best he would be the same as another person coming in with some experience that has to learn the system would have in winning a couple games. I just don't see a whole lot from him.
You know, I wonder, Dave, if their philosophy, I don't think they'd articulate this publicly, but maybe what they're thinking is, and we're seeing this first signs of transitioning to being a defense and running team. And so they know that Jordan Love is not, you know, going to be a top level NFL quarterback, but they might believe that if we're good enough on defense and we can run the ball, you know, we don't need an Aaron Rodgers or we don't need a top tier quarterback. We need a competent game manager because we're going to win differently than we have in the past. Now, maybe that, you know, is not what they're thinking, but that may be why they keep on hanging on to Jordan Love, because they, you know, it might be intentional. We don't anticipate, you know, having the need for a quarterback that will put the team on his shoulders and lead them to victory. We are going to be a team that's going to win on defense and running the ball. And if that's the case, you know, maybe Love could be a competent game manager. I mean, we've seen teams like that, you know, do pretty well. At this point, I don't know about you. In fact, I do think I know about you in this case. I don't know that he's even a competent game manager. That's my concern. If he was going to be a guy, a check down Charlie, you know, make the safe throw, just don't kill your team, I'd be okay with that. I don't know that I even see that. He did make a really nice touchdown pass to Dubs in the first quarter. That was sweet. And he had a couple other passes to Dubs that, well, we talked about the interception that shouldn't have been, but also you wonder about Dubs' hands. I mean, Love did his part. He got the ball to him, but the guy's hands don't seem at this point that good. And I think if you're going to be a running team that relies on defense, you can't have receivers that are going to drop the ball. You're going to have to be very secure, because you're not going to be able to make up for those mistakes with outstanding quarterback play. So now, granted, that was the first game for Romeo Dubs. We saw James Jones had the drops. He's early in his career too. I mean, a lot of guys do. And to say what we see is what he's always going to be, that's very unlikely. But I think as they're building this team going forward, if they do entertain the idea of, you know, having Jordan Love as their quarterback, they're going to have to be airtight on special teams, on defense. You're going to have to make very few mistakes on offense. You can't have dumb penalties. All of that stuff is going to have to come together. And that seems to me like you're counting on a lot of other things to be just right to cover up for a quarterback that is inadequate in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, he's an interception machine, really. And wasn't that the knock on him in college, is that he had a lot of
his second year, or his last year, he threw like 17 picks. But before that, he was okay, and they wrote it off as, well, they had a change in system and different coaches. I don't know, because right now he looks like he's not he's not secure with the ball in the way that we've become accustomed to.
Right. Well, and maybe that really shows by the difference with Rodgers. But, you know, three interceptions, you know, not his fault. I feel like he's thrown – I don't recall how many interceptions he threw when he had a chance to play or last preseason. But, you know, is it possible that it's like when you're driving, get an accident, they never say it's 100% everyone's fault. It's always 1%. That there's some fault in the quarterback in that, you know, he threw the ball – like he threw it just a half second too early, so he wasn't able to turn quickly enough. I don't want to give NFL receivers too much slack, but if it keeps happening and it keeps happening to different receivers, don't you sometimes wonder, like, maybe there's something about the ball that Jordan Love throws that causes, you know, to kind of not a clean reception. But for whatever he is, I mean, his balls seem to get dropped, or at least in this game. And ever since he's joined, I think the decision-making has always been questionable, throwing into coverage. And even like his first throw, he threw down the field and ended up just kind of hitting empty space. And I don't know. I feel like if you're going to have that team where if Rodgers is out, it's going to be defense and running that's going to work, then someone like Danny Etling or someone who's check down Charlie is a great phrase for that, or it's just a quarterback that'll throw screens, throw short, or run, right? I think you could win maybe some games like that. You won't win if you have a guy that's turning the ball over a ton.
I thought it was interesting to see the amount of runs that they did. I think both Love and Etling both had like four runs, and a number of those were designed runs. And I thought, I can't see Aaron Rodgers doing that.
No, right. I think, you know, it would be, and they would be effective on any team that's got a quarterback you don't want to see run, but sort of the run option, is it read option? Because you're so used to playing the Packers a certain way, I would think that play would work a lot. And maybe Jordan Love could come in and run some read options. I guess he'd probably never take Rodgers off the field. But in a third and one situation, could you kind of have him come in and run some of those? That could work once in a while.
There are teams that do it. I mean, that's, you know, how they use Taysom Hill, right? In
New Orleans. That's true. Drew Brees. When he was there. Yeah. I would think that would take a lot of guts to take Rodgers off the field. And if you did, when you went asked him to go back in, he might already be in the locker room pouting and upset.
Well, he might also be hallucinating from, you know, that the materials, the South American materials he'd been taking.
Yeah. I thought that's legal. That's legal. And marijuana is not. Is that?
You mean for the NFL,
right?
Is that legal?
Yeah.
I think so. That was my, well, it is for now until they probably going to say, whoa, we got to revise this, you know, hallucinogens. Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I want to see Jordan Love. I don't want to cheer against the guy. Like, I didn't love the pick, and there's some receiver I'm sure that's out there that we could have gotten that's probably playing really well right now. And everyone's going to be upset about that. I don't want to be that guy. But, I mean, did you read that book Blank by Malcolm Gladwell?
No, I'm familiar with the concepts, though.
Where it's the very first story is someone takes an ancient artifact to a museum director and says, is this real? And he looks at it for 2 seconds and says, it's fake. And they're like, why? He goes, I don't know. It just looks fake to me. And then they said, but we've done all this testing, and it's real. And he said, well, it just looked fake to me. And then they kept testing it, and they found out it was a fake. And they went back to him and said, how did you know? And he said, I don't know. I've seen 1,000 of these pieces, and it just looked fake to me. Jordan Love looks fake to me.
It's a trust your gut based on your experience thing, yeah.
Right. And it's not like, you know, we haven't seen quarterback after quarterback. I mean, I wonder how many quarterback plays I've seen in my lifetime. Packer or outside. I mean, enough to where if it was a different industry, I'd be considered an analyst probably. And to me, he just doesn't look the part. But certainly there's a lot of information behind the scenes that we don't know. He may be just an amazing human being and great leader and all that stuff. But man, he just doesn't look like that pick is going to work out. And we're in a situation right now where the risk of the brass in Green Bay wanting to stick with this decision longer because they would be too embarrassed to reverse it, that risk is really high, that they're going to stick with him longer than they should. I don't feel like this is an organization that makes quick decisions. And certainly they don't want to be this was my Aaron Rodgers, my Brett Favre, and I missed. And I think they're going to stick with him longer, hoping that they'll be proven right. Don't you think?
Well, I think if I was Goody, I would be saying that the pick I'm going to hang my hat on is Rashawn Gary. I think I would not make the Jordan Love pick the one I want to be defined by. Let's put it that way.
Well, Jair Alexander is a good one.
Maybe that's another fallback. You could say, well, Jordan Love, well, that was just one pick. Look at Alexander. Look at Rashawn Gary.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, or, you know, maybe the guys they picked up this year, you know, would be more proof of that. Don't judge me on one first round pick. Judge me on my entire body of work. You know?
And they should. No one's expecting him to be perfect with his first round picks. It was an odd one because we really need a receiver and you made Rodgers mad. But then on top of it, you know, the picks appears to have been poor, at least at this point. So it really was a disaster, no matter kind of how you have it, unless he becomes a winning starter, not Hall of Famer, but a winning starter. Then I think, okay, maybe it was worth the journey. I don't think it is. I think they could probably hang on to him a year too late.
I will give you this. I'm not ready to, you know, write the guy off entirely because we really haven't seen enough of him, and I don't think he's seen enough play. There is very little at this point that you can point to say, you know, that guy. You know, there's something there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, about the only thing I can think of is that great pass he made, you know, to Romeo Doubs. I mean, that was one of the few things that, you know, in my mind, when I think about him, that say, yeah, you know, maybe there is something there. There's very little evidence to suggest at this point that we can expect, you know, even a level of competency with him as a starter of, you know, for an extended period of time. So if I'm the Packers, I'm publicly making statements of support. Privately, you know, I'm looking at the draft classes coming up, and I'm looking at, you know, other teams that may have, you know, interesting, you know, younger players where I can, you know, make a trade or something like that to get somebody else. And don't forget, I think it was, it must have been Ted was the GM. They drafted two quarterbacks the year that Rodgers, you know, took over for Favre. One of them was Matt Flynn. The guy in the second round, who everyone's so high.
Yeah, let's take Kentucky. I forget. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had a pretty good pedigree. But, you know, these guys just, you know, well, Matt Flynn turned out to be, you know, competent. He made some money with that Seattle deal and stuff. Well, good for him. But I don't know that publicly they can do anything but be supportive of Jordan Love. But I think privately, if they are not really thinking of a contingency plan behind him and looking at future draft classes and doing what they can to get themselves in position to get somebody else, they are committing malpractice.
Brian Brohm.
That's the guy.
Quarterback from Louisville.
That's
I remember we yeah. had a Ryan Brohm at the
yes.
Brewers. So Brian
yeah.
Brohm
yeah.
as back quarterback. Yeah, that draft class, that was in 2008. Our first pick was the second round, Jordy Nelson, then Brian Brohm.
He worked out well, yeah.
Yep. Then Patrick Lee. There we go, Patrick Lee.
Yeah, number 22, he was a defensive back, yeah.
Yes, then Jermichael Finley. It's pretty good.
He worked out well, yeah.
Jeremy Thompson, defensive end, Wake Forest.
Don't remember him.
Josh Sitton, guard at Central Florida. That worked out well.
That worked real well, yeah.
Breno Giacomini, tackle at Louisville. I thought he got picked up elsewhere.
Yeah, he did. And he played a little bit for the Packers. He was late bloomer. And then he wound up with somebody else. I think he was a starter somewhere else, yeah.
Then Matt Flynn.
Who gave the Packers – in fact, I think he – saved the 2013 season, as I recall, because Rodgers was out for so long, but they had that great comeback against Dallas.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And Matt Flynn had that record-setting performance against the Lions, too.
That's right.
Like, passed for 500 yards or something. It's crazy, yeah.
And then Brett Swain, wide receiver, San Diego State.
And he played in the Super Bowl, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so not a bad class. You know, that was when they were still kind of reloading the team. I think somewhere thereafter, Ted Thompson's picks started to – be a wasteland of talent, but that was a good year.
That was that was solid. I mean, it's interesting to look back at those classes and how many of the names you remember playing. There's only one guy that I don't remember from that, you know, group. That wasn't always the case going forward.
Yeah, right.
You know, a lot of those guys are bouncers or selling insurance or Phi Ed teachers now.
Yeah. Well, are you excited about Romeo Dubs? Do you think, you know, now Christian Watson is hurt, so
yeah,
kind of plan B from Adams is doesn't seem to go swimmingly well.
Am I excited about him? I guess I'm excited to the extent that they might, you know, get 40 or 45 catches out of him this year, that he's viable and credible. He won't be as good this year as he will be in succeeding years. I mean, that's NFL wide receivers. It'll take a couple of years to develop, but I think they'll get more out of him than I expect. In fact, they might be getting out of him what I thought they'd get out of Watson. And right now, I'm not sure they're getting anything out of Watson. I was really surprised that he showed up to camp and being on the PUP list. That did not. I thought he was practicing in the OTAs and stuff, but yeah, when he came back unable, I thought, what the heck is that about? You know?
Yeah.
He also, have you seen him physically? He's small or small-ish. I mean, not, I think he's tall, but
he's taller. Yeah. But
he's tall, but he's lean is what, right, I mean by small. He's not, you know, physically robust. And I'm just wondering if this might be kind of a redshirt year for him to kind of, you know, get his body, besides orthopedically, but maybe a little bit of muscle on that frame, because he does seem like he would have a hard time holding up to a 17 game schedule. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to know. I was encouraged too by Danny Davis. I didn't think much of him at Wisconsin, but I thought he looked better in the one preseason game than he did in all of his years at Wisconsin.
Is that right? I didn't follow the Badgers that much when he was on the team. He was not a real impressive guy.
I know. In fact, I was real surprised when he signed with the Packers at all. I thought, really? I saw a lot of him. Now, granted, you know, they don't have the best quarterbacks at UW, and, you know, maybe he's always had the talent, but didn't have somebody who was able to, you know, find him. But he always looked physically small, and I think he is physically small still. But damn, I mean, the guy jumped out in the practice game against the Niners, and the catch and run was like, wow, I don't recall seeing a lot of that at UW. So I was pleasantly surprised, but I don't know that there's a place for him on the roster unless he's really good on special teams.
Yeah. I mean, I have no clue who's going to be who's the top three receivers for the Packers. Yeah. Alan Lazard.
Yeah. Well then probably Cobb, I would think.
You think he's your two?
Well, I don't know who else is, you know, with Watson hurt.
You got Watkins, Winfrey, Dobbs.
Well, but you know, Watkins is he's been hurt too. I think he's on PUP as well, and he's had a kind of an uneven career. I guess if he's healthy and able, I guess he might be one of your top three guys. I mean, it becomes very clear to me why Alan Lazard wanted more money in the offseason. Of course, they weren't going to be giving it to him, but I think he looked at the depth chart and said, you know, I'm the number one guy here.
I'm valuable now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a better season than we expect, but we need to fill out this roster. I was just disappointed. You know, Julio Jones was sitting out there. Now, I know he gets hurt a lot, and he's a name and was a great, you know, all pro years past. But, you know, what is the harm in having him come in as a veteran? Like, you know, Julio Jones isn't going to catch a ball, get rolled on, and have the ball taken away from him. Like, he's just been around too long. Just that's not going to happen to him. I feel that's probably true. I hope that's true with Sammy Watkins. That's going to happen to Romeo Dubs because he's new. He's inexperienced, and he's nervous and everything. So, but sure enough, where does Julio Jones go? He goes to Tampa Bay, where all free agents go to die and win one more Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Like, they, you know, they have an injury situation. They don't sign some undrafted free agent guy. They go out and get somebody who they can, has got some experience. I, I don't want to go all that way. It would just be nice to have a mix of a team that has some of that. And, you know, I don't know if any of those guys that used to be good are still out there are out there anymore.
I don't think they are. I think that Jones might have been, you know, the last of the people you would recognize. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, as teams are getting their rosters in shape, they might have a veteran that, you know, they don't want to pay or that they might release. And it's somebody who's, you know, best days are beyond them. A little bit like James Jones was, you know. I mean, I'm not suggesting, you know, James Jones, but there may be a guy like that, that they can acquire either by trade or they, you know, pick him up off the wire. He's got a little bit of experience. Because if you're counting on, you know, Malik Taylor, you know, to somehow, you know, perk up and show something, or this Sam Torre, I think he is. Yeah, I mean, he caught a couple of balls, I think, during the game. But I don't think he's going to be an answer for you. Amari Rodgers, I they're probably expecting him to replace Randall Cobb.
I think he'll probably be in the mix. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, they've got some guys, you know, with, I mean, who are suspects. Winfrey is one of those guys, not Oprah, but Juwan.
Yeah.
Although I, you know, Oprah's, you know, she'd be tenacious out there. You know?
She would be, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they've got some interesting suspects, a prospect or two, but in terms of, you know, guys you can really count on, we're probably going to see a lot more of Aaron Jones split out wide. I think they're really hoping and praying that Big Bob Tonyan can, you know, get back on the field, and because their tight ends aren't going to be good enough to cover up for lack of wide receivers. You know, that was something they did in 2010. They did the opposite. When the tight ends got hurt, they loaded up on wide receiver plays because they were so deep at wide receiver in 2010.
Right. Right.
And they're not going to be able to, you know, flip the magic and say, well, we're light on wide receiver, we'll just have our, you know, our squadron of tight ends split out wide. Well, we don't really have that. And who knows if Big Bob's going to, you know, approximate the player that he was before his injury. I think you can see a lot of running of the ball, you know, a lot of AJ Dillon, a lot of Aaron Jones. And the good news is it looks like they got a couple of possibilities at running back. You know, the Patrick Taylor, you know, Goodson, they also had, Dexter Williams, they picked up again off the scrap heap, and, you know, he looked fresh and energetic. So might just be a team that, you know, they're going to de-emphasize, you know, the passing game, and they're going to make use of the best offensive players they have, which at this point appear to be running backs.
It might be, you know, or it might be a confusing motion style offense that you really don't know what's happening. You don't have anyone to focus on. There'll be someone open, and Aaron Rodgers' decision-making now will be improved, and he'll throw the open guy, and you'll have a bunch of Cobbs and Rodgers, Amari Rodgers and Dobbs. You know, these guys are kind of all over the field, and you just don't know where it's going. And that could be an offense that could be exciting. I hope it's that. Like, we've seen, you know, times when that's happened when Adams has been hurt. A lot of throws to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. But I do have a couple of I looked up a site of the top onside free agents.
Oh, there's okay.
Two of yep. The top five that are receivers. The number one overall, according to this list, is Odell Beckham Jr. So he's still out there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. That's right. Yep.
And, you know, so that is, you know, that could instantly, I don't know his health at the moment, but if you had him on the team as, you know, arguably your number one, if he is healthy, things look a little bit better. They actually have Landon Collins, safety, as a good fit for the Packers. Guys that used to play for the Washington Senators. What do you call it? Washington the football team?
Washington Toreadors, Commanders, I guess, yeah. Or some Commanders. Kind of. Yeah, what the hell is that? You know. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Centurions. I forget what it is. And then, but number four is Will Fuller, who went to Miami.
Oh yeah.
And then was suspended for his performance enhancing drugs, but he is out there too. Who knows? You know, but neither, this site does not list the Packers as either have being good fits for those receivers. And I think I give a one half of a percent chance that the Packers sign those guys. I think they are just, that is not their MO.
Well, you know, it'll depend on who's going to be healthy. It'll depend on what they see from these guys. I think this next game, you know, coming up against the Saints at Lambeau Field is going to be important, because it's going to determine, like, well, gee, do we feel comfortable with the guys we have, or do we, you know, need to, you know, contact, you know, Beckham's agent, or, you know, try to get somebody else in here. So I wouldn't completely discount it, but I don't know what their cap is like right now, but they're probably not having a lot of room on the cap. And so they're probably going to be very careful. And this may also have a spillover effect when it comes to the offensive line. You know, you got two of your starters, two really good players who they're expecting to be starting a tackle. Both of those guys are hurt. And I think the offensive line they have right now, I think it's got promise, but I think it's got shortcomings in the near term. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did pick up some kind of, you know, street free agent, that if it wouldn't be an offensive lineman, you know, somebody like, you know, like when they, with Ricky Wagner, you know, right, when they picked him up to play tackle. Those guys are usually cheap and available, and, you know, you know they're not going to be great, but they're not going to screw up big time. They may be looking for somebody like that, because I don't think a lot of the guys they have right now, the young guys on the line, are ready for prime time. In fact, I've even heard somebody suggest, you know, they might be looking up, see what Brian Bulaga, if he would be interested in, you know, coming back and, you know, working as a backup or as a swing guy at tackle, at right tackle. I don't know if I would, you know, I think he might be played out. But the point is, they're probably looking for a veteran that they can come in and stabilize and be a bridge until they get Jenkins back and hopefully get Bakhtiari back.
Yeah, they can go that route as well. You want to protect your investment. There's no question. So that's kind of my thoughts of the game. I'd like to have seen them win. I found myself kind of caring just ever so slightly, just because I'm really starting to hate San Francisco. Just the colors, the feel, just really start to hate that whole situation there.
Yeah, it was cute for a while when they began winning Super Bowls, but no, I'm really over that now. I'm totally beyond it, and the Packers are beyond them for a while now too. So they get ready coming up this weekend, you know, to see what the Saints have to offer. I guess they'll be doing some of those joint practices, which means there'll be fist fights and there'll be acrimony. Yeah. I mean, that didn't somebody get their clock cleaned last year in one of these. It was one of the tight ends, and he wound up, you know, having the concussion thing, and it sent him off balance and screwed up his season. I forget which one of the tight ends it was, but there was a cheap shot delivered.
Yeah. I feel like it's DeGuara, but
that may be. Yeah. And it just kind of set the guy back. And that's why I know why they do this, because it's the only way that Rodgers is going to see another team, so because he's not going to play in the practice games. But it seems like every team, it's not just in Green Bay. Every team, when they do these, there's something that happens, that someone gets hurt or there's a fight or something. You know, it just doesn't work out well. But yet, you know, this is something that LaFleur really likes, and they seem to do it every year. And I just hope it doesn't wind up, you know, in losing somebody key. In a, it's even worse than a preseason game. It's a practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yeah. That's right.
So, any pop culture, Dave, before we shuffle?
Yeah, I have one that I've been watching that I want to make sure everyone is taking a look at, and kind of an announcement as well. One is The Bear. Have you watched The Bear?
I've heard a lot about it. A lot of good critical reviews of this. It sounds great.
It really is. I mean, being from Wisconsin, we know Chicago pretty well. And I went to school outside of Chicago. So sort of the restaurants and the streets getting Italian beef kind of at a hole-in-the-wall kind of restaurant, that's very familiar to me, the conversations and the way people talk there. So The Bear is about a chef who, what do you call it, the Beard Award winner? He was what's the chef award? I think it's something Beard. Do you not know what this is?
No, I don't.
Come on. You know this stuff. He is an award-winning chef. I have to look it up. It's the James Beard Award for cooking chefs. He is a winner of this, but I think in New York, and his brother owns an Italian beef place in Chicago. So his brother dies. He moves back to his family's restaurant, and a restaurant, it's more like a takeout, Italian beef kind of takeout place. But he brings his sort of background of being a chef at one of these very high-end restaurants to his brother's place. And the workers there are not used to this regimen. The way they talk to each other, they all refer to each other as chef. They don't use their names. And it's very stressful. It's a very high-strung TV show because everything's always, they're running out of ingredients. They're behind on things. Things spill. It's a very contained quarter. So it's a very adult show from the language perspective, but really, really good. It's a show that I would explain that to myself before I watched it. I would have thought that's not probably for me because I'm not a big fan of these cooking shows or chef, you know, in hell kind of stuff that they have. But this was a very good show. I think this has you written all over it, Chris. So I would recommend The Bear on Hulu. At least on Hulu.
Yeah, it is one of the shows that definitely on my list. There's no doubt about that. All right.
The other thing, I have one more.
Oh, sure.
I have one more. I hope you don't mind. I want to advertise my other podcasts.
I was going to mention that earlier. So I'm glad you're doing this. Good.
Okay. Because I did a couple as just for fun, and then I realized, okay, these other guys want to keep doing this. I need to let Chris know that I'm cheating on him from a podcast perspective. So I sheepishly told you that these guys wanted to do this podcast, and it's been fun. It was something in the off season to do, and it's got a totally different vibe. And there's three of us doing it instead of just the two of us. And it's not around any particular thing like the Packers. It's called FTS, Friends Talking Shop. And the FTS sort of stands for something else that I won't get into, but that's why we say FTS, Friends Talking Shop. It is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so I'd love for people to take a look, listen to it. It's me and two of my friends, and we just talk about issues that we feel are important at the time. We have three unprepared topics that we bring to the table. We talk about it, and that's pretty much it. And that probably sounds like what all three guys are doing right now is having, you know, doing a podcast about nonsense things. But it's been kind of fun. So, and people that I wouldn't think liked it has thought it's been fun, and we're enjoying doing it. So if you want to help our numbers, check out FTS, Friends Talking Shop. I would say start with episode 13. Josh talks about his colonoscopy that he had. I think that's
nice.
Probably one of our best stories.
That's it's a winner. Yeah,
it's great. It's fantastic. So feel free to listen to that. One thing I would just say too is that restarting a podcast has made me appreciate the journey that we've been on, because unlike this podcast, I have no idea what our numbers are. Packers Talk has all that. This one, we started from scratch, and I can see the feed. I can see how many downloads we get. And working your way up to getting kind of a word of mouth, like we're not advertising this really anywhere. It's a low, very long, slow process. And the fact that we have people that listen and email us is actually amazing when I think of it. And we started at a very different time than we did in 2022. But still, it just makes me appreciate sort of the people that we've got to know, and you know, whether it be Nick or helping us with the audio stuff, or Mitnall Miller for the betting lines, all that stuff. Like that's a long journey that we've been on, and it's great to be back. And I hope people are back with us.
Yeah, I heard from iChuck. He was going to be in the area. I guess his sister was singing the national anthem at one of the college summer league. You know, they have those leagues, and we have a couple teams around here. And his sister was, I guess, asked, or I don't know, auditioned, I'm not sure, to do the national anthem. So he was in touch. He was in touch. So, you know, I mean, that's not a guy I would know without the podcast, you know. So
right.
it's it's been pretty cool. And I will also vouch for FTS. I think it was you had done the 10th episode. And so I, okay, I'm going to give this a listen because, you know, I was going to work every day then. And I got to say, it's fun. You know, I don't know the other guys, but they're funny, and it was a good listen. The time passed quickly, so I would definitely recommend it. You know, check it out. If you can't get enough of Dave, you can get more of Dave. And how many episodes now have you guys done?
I think we're in the 20s. I think it's 22 or something like that. Yeah, 21 or 22.
So it's a viable ongoing concern. You know, you want to be able to. Subscribe now, because at some point it's going to be blowing up. It's going to be huge. And you want to be able to tell your friends, oh, yeah, I listened from them from episode 23 on. I know those guys. I'm cool. Yeah. So check out. FTS is the name of the podcast, Friends Talking Shop. So definitely check that out.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, we'll watch again the second practice game. You know, no betting lines or anything because we're not that weird. So we will do that, and we'll be back in a week or so, give you our impressions about that. Good to be back. Good to talk with you, Dave. And it's good to be back out there with a Packers presence and what appears to be an interesting upcoming season. So we will reconvene in a week or so. But until that time, I'm Chris.
I'm Dave.
And that is Packers there.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.